Thanks for joining us for another segment in the Publish Yourself interview series. This week I've ventured out into the field of Bat and Kill Books in Cambridge, New York, where I talked with Connie Brooks about survival techniques for indie bookstores in the age of Amazon and the ebook revolution. Settle back and enjoy the conversation.
Would a good place to start be the kind of the history of Bat and Kill Books?
The brief history of Bat and Kill Books. There's been a bookstore in Cambridge for over 25 years. And the origins are somewhat murky. The original owner can't remember if it was 1984 or 1985.
Right.
She's not quite sure. But it was around in there that the first bookstore was opened in Cambridge. It's had a series of locations and a series of different owners in the decades since. My husband and I purchased the bookstore in 2009. So heading into the depths of the recession, what do? You think of something really crazy and you buy an independent bookstore just when the economy is tanking and ebooks are on the rise. So this is a really smart thing to do. But at the time when we bought the bookstore, it wasn't a different location. It was just around the corner, a little bit tucked back from Main Street.
So a
little bit tucked out of the way. We moved into this location on Main Street, big, nice plate glass windows to the street. And this is about, I don't know, four or five times the size of the store as it had been previously. So we've had it since 2009. It'll be 5 years this November. That'll be our five-year anniversary. And we have grown every year. Sales have increased every year. We are amazed because I do expect to flatline at some point. It has to happen. But so far, we keep building. We have, of course, local customers, but as well, we ship books around the country. We ship them internationally, which often surprises people. But we have some arrangements with some of our local authors that they'll come in and sign copies of their books. So if they have an established client base, you know, around the country, they want to sign book by that their favorite author.
Sure.
They'll call. Who else are you gonna call? They're gonna call us. So that's something that we can do that pretty much nobody else can do. So that's a specialty. We've really specialized. I mean, we're a general bookstore. All types of books. We do sell a lot of children's books. That's probably our biggest category. Second to that would be adult fiction. But we also have a little bit of a specialty with what I call do-it-yourself or homesteading, backyard farming type books.
Oh, yeah.
We have a much deeper selection than, say, a Barnes & Noble, walking to a Barnes & Noble or something like that. And people often remark on it. They'll be looking around and go, oh, you don't just have a book on chicken keeping. You have 10 books on llama keeping. And I can't believe it, and neither can we. But there they are. So that's a little bit of a specialty.
Do you have a lot of Chelsea Green titles in your
collection? We have a lot of Chelsea Green titles, which do quite well here. We also have a specialty on local and regional books, local history, local authors, titles of regional interest. And a lot of those are published by very small presses. And you can't find them any, you know, just everywhere. You can't, you can't even in some cases find them online. So it's sometimes a little bit of a surprise to people to come in and go, I never knew that book existed. Wow, this is a really interesting topic. So they walk away with something that they didn't even realize that they wanted, but here it is.
Yeah, but that's the pleasure of browsing, which has always been one of the great things about independent bookstores. I mean,
right.
It's not like walking into Barnes & Noble where the same 300 books will all be circling in the same areas.
Right, exactly. We can tailor the collection much more than a you know chain bookstore might be able to do. So,
but people can buy things that you stock online then?
Yes, they can.
As well as order maybe things that you get through your distributors?
Sure, yeah. Kind of, it works in all different ways. We have a website that's fully functioning as an e-commerce site, so people from anywhere in the country can hop on there and order books that either we already have in stock or that we can order and ship to them. And it works the same for a customer walking in. Of course, we have our selection here, but pretty much anything we can order for someone and have in for them in a matter of days. So, and that works pretty well. So, even out of print books, we'll do out of print book searches for people, which is surprisingly common.
So you mentioned earlier the challenge of getting into this business while ebooks were starting to flourish. Do you feel like as the future progresses, you'll have a closer alliance with being able to tap into the ebook world, or is it going to be kind of an adversarial relationship?
That's a complicated question.
Yeah, no, it's something we deal with in working on our ePublish Yourself website all the time, because you know, you can come at ePublishing from about 50 different angles,
yes,
and they're all
yeah.
interrelated with all these different factors and things.
It's a very complicated question, and it's a complicated terrain out there. I think that we will always have some relationship to ePublishing. Currently, we make available on our website ebooks on the Kobo platform, and we will sell for people Kobo e-readers. That was independent bookstores' attempt to get a toe in the water, you know, make sure that we have the ability to do that, so that if we have customers who are reading ebooks, they can still support us. However, revenues from those remain small, really,
right,
as a percentage of our overall, you know, profit, though that's a very, very small slice of the pie.
How does it work? I mean, I already have a Kobo account, now I've got the reader, so what would I need to do to purchase a book that you would be credited for?
Well, the Kobo e-reader purchased from us is affiliated with our store, and that is something that's set up by serial number. So we basically tell Kobo this serial number we sold, and so that's linked to Bat and Kill Books. So at least in theory, it should work that an ebook purchased from a device that we sell is linked back to our store, and we get a very small percentage of that sale. So I believe in the case that you already have a Kobo account, that it should somehow work, and I don't understand the mysteries of how that all gets connected up. Time will tell. But that's how it is set up to work with a e-reader device that we sell from here. Then if someone has a different device, say they have just some type of Android device that they own, they want to set up a Kobo account, at setup there's a page in place there. As you set up your account, you can say, do you have a local bookstore that you want to, you know, give credit to, when you're able to do that. So I have not done that myself, so I'm not sure how exactly that works, but I know it must work because I see that we have customers that have set it up and done they're figuring it out.
But as you say this, I guess at the stage, it's really not something you can rely on or may be able to rely on for a significant portion of your revenues.
At this point, it's not significant in the grand scheme of things. Will that change in the future? It's anybody's guess. I still see a strong future for bricks and mortar bookstores and for the print book. And of course I'm biased because I sit in an independent bookstore all day, and I see those people who choose to come into an independent bookstore. So of course, you know, what I see is, you know, I look out through a certain lens. But, you know, we talk to a lot of people who come in here, and a lot of them have e-readers and choose to split their reading. So they might have be reading e-books, and they choose to do that when they travel. Or if they commute, you know, down to New York and they're sitting on the train, they'll bring their e-reading device with them. But the rest of the time, they want print books. Or I have people who are given e-reading devices and use it for a couple months and forget all about it and are back to. So there's all different customers, I guess, that we see that split their reading up many, many different ways. But I have a lot of people who read ebooks as well as print, and I'll have people who might have tried the ebook and then want to come in and have a print copy that they can refer back to, loan to a friend, give as a gift, I mean, you name it. I think there's also a lot of categories of books that are not necessarily best in the e-format. Craft books, gardening books, books of photography, those are still, we're seeing those sales, and those e-book sales are not as strong. They're not as strong as, say, in the romance market or action-adventure or... So there's some categories that I think are still done exceptionally well in print, and that gives them an advantage. We also still see a whole lot of books given as gifts, and emailing somebody an electronic file is just never going to be the same.
We're glad you were here to listen. We'll be back with part two of this interview in the near future.